Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sweet. So there was a song. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Has anybody ever sang that? We got a couple. Do you want me to sing it? Okay. I won't. So the new year, matter of fact, we're going to be talking about it today. We're going to be talking about what should we do with this new year and how should we look at it. First of all, I just want you to know that I'm excited about the vision team. As you know, you all prayed for them not too long ago. The team of people from the church that are they're seeking and praying, God, where should you take us when it comes to a new outreach? And we are getting very excited because there's so many opportunities. We've been interviewing. We've been looking at all the situations. And I really believe, I think some of us are believing that God's helping us sort of narrow our focus. In fact, we have a meeting today, and we cherish your prayers because you're going to be a part. You're a part of this vision team. You're part of the outreach. You're going to have an opportunity to do something very special that God has designed. It's all about God, and where you can be a part of ministering to a people group here that we believe is in very much of a need of the services that we have from the church. So I just want you to be aware how those things are going to come here pretty soon. We're putting together an implementation team that's going to implement this outreach, this opportunity to reach out to them and be a part of how can we connect with them and develop our outreach ministry here. So there we go. We got that. Also, I want you to I want to thank God for this week I had with my wife. It was very, very interesting. Very interesting. We played miniature golf. We had a miniature golf tournament right down here on Narthex because our car was stuck in the road and also stuck in the parking lot for one day. We had to cancel all our Airbnbs. But you know what's so fun? It's just being with Cynthia. That's what made it so special. And God was able to do some wonderful things like this. Well, I think a lot of us here, as Maggie just shared, we have prayers that have been answered in an amazing way. And I know that everyone here has stories, some amazing stories that we can sit back and go, wow, I prayed for this, or I was an answer to a prayer, and those stories are stories that we need to tie and lock into our minds, because when it comes to prayer, we need to remind ourselves constantly that God is always answering our prayers. Well, today I want to share, I have a lot of stories, testimonies about prayer, but today I want to share a testimony about a prayer that even to this day, I still get goosebumps. It is a crazy, beautiful story. So I went to college. In my third year in college, I had an opportunity to go fishing in Texas. Now, there is this wonderful woman who was our Sunday school professor, but also she was the director of the puppet team. And of all the people that was on the puppet team, I was on it. I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't play a musical instrument. But somehow she just thought I would be a good fit for the team. I don't know what it was, but it was a miracle in my life. So I got to know Sister Botts very, very well. For some reason, she almost became like a surrogate mom to me because my mom was up in Alaska. So what happened is I got to know the family, and they got to be with the family, and the doctor, and I forgot his first name, but I know his wife's name is Shelley, and I know the little boy named Luke and the other kids. And he was really interested in fishing. He loved fishing, and when he found out that I was from Alaska, he would sit down with me, and he would just kind of, you know, quiz me, interview me about all the fishing that I've done. And, well, one day he had a client that has a ranch, and the ranch, the owner of that ranch invited this doctor friend to come over and fish at one of the ponds that has lots of bass. And so he asked me to come along, and I said, I would love to. So early one morning when it was very, very dark, okay, we're driving down the Texan Highway. Two roads going this way, two lanes going that way, two lanes coming this way. And we suddenly get very in the dark, it's dark, we get into on top of a bridge. And the bridge basically is a bridge that kind of, they have these washouts with rains, So they make the bridges long because there's a lot of overflow. So we're going on the bridge. So before the bridge, we have these huge shoulders, okay? So you can pull off or even into a ditch if you have to. So we got on this bridge, and normally what happened was that there's no shoulders. I mean, there was enough shoulder from the concrete barrier on one side and the other side, and it was about this big. You can't really pull off on those on these bridges. So we're driving. I'm in the front, the passenger, and little Luke was only 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and he's very unique because he communicates with sign language. He doesn't speak, but we can understand him with sign language. Later on, he is able to speak, but for some reason, Luke decided not to speak but use sign language. This is something he did. So gestures and all that. So we're driving down, you know, getting ready, thinking about the big bass we're going to catch from this pond, and we see these lights coming straight at us. A car got into the wrong lane. You know, and we're looking at that, and it was coming straight for us. And it was not slowing down. 60, 65, 70 miles per hour, coming straight for us. And there was no way that we could pull off the road. There was nothing. We could pull off just a little bit, but the guy was heading straight for us and going fast. I mean, and you know, at that speed, a person coming straight at you, you can understand and see the consequences of that situation. And within about maybe 50 yards, 50, 60, 70 yards, he pulls into the left lane and misses us. And we're sitting there just shaking, okay? And we're going, what? And we kind of realized this guy was a drunk driver. So we looked, we turned around. You know, we pull down, put our, and he goes right back into our lane. So he pulled around, go back, and now we're looking at the cars that were on the other side of the bridge. There was one car that just about to turn into the bridge, but he saw the car coming. The car was not changing direction. That car flew off into the ditch, okay? The car right after it wasn't so fortunate. That car turned and was T-boned by this car. And back in those days, we didn't have cell phones. This was about 1983, 82. So what we did is the first thing we did, we got off and we got to a payphone, everybody. You know what a payphone is? Okay. And we got to a payphone, and the doctor, first of all, called 911 and told him exactly what happened. And then, secondly, he proceeded to call Shelley, his wife. And I remember listening to him. I'm just from here to here from the phone, listening to the doctor. And he was talking to Shelley before he could get a word edgewise in. He stopped and he was listening. And he was listening. And then he said, honey, let me just tell you what happened. And when he hung up, he turned to me and said, Shelley, at the same time, not even knowing what I did or what we did, she was waking up by the Holy Spirit. She was in this intensity about knowing that she had to pray for us at that moment. At that moment, she got on her knees and she prayed. She prayed so intensely. And then he sat there and we looked at each other and we just say, God, thank you, God. She interceded for us. She was led by the Spirit. She was overwhelmed with this fear, this need to pray. She got on her knees and she prayed for us at the time that this car was coming. Now, I don't know the timing on whatever that is, but I know it was at the same time in that same area. And we sat back, and we were just dumbfounded. And that prayer to this day still gives me goosebumps because we wouldn't have made it. We would not have made it. 3 lives would have been lost. And we did find out what happened to the car that was behind, the second car that behind us. The doctor was able to have some pull and call up some hospitals, and there was a young woman back there that was hit. Thankfully, all she had was a broken leg. And like I said, it could have been a lot worse. So prayer works. Prayer works. It's a part of the way that we breathe. It should be the part of the way we breathe. So there's three major themes that Paul always brings out in his letters. And if you look at his letters, you'll see these things, that this is what he does. He says that the themes are rejoice always, give thanks, and pray. When you look at his letters, those are the three themes, his life, his philosophy. If you ever listen to Paul, that all the times that he's been through very, very difficult times in his life, you always hear him rejoicing, you always hear him thanking God, you always hear him about praying. Very important thing. So the church in Thessalonica was struggling with persecution, and Paul knew about it. And Paul wanted to send a letter to them, encouraging them, reminding them of these three major themes. Now, persecution is something that we do feel, and there's so many ways that you can be persecuted. But one of the hardest ways that you can ever be persecuted is being shunned by your family. Okay, these were Jewish believers now. And what happened was that Jewish friends and Jewish relatives were shunning these Jewish people who are Christians now. And just the persecution of not being able to see your family, not being able to connect with them and your friends, because now you're a Christian, is one of the hardest persecutions a person can ever go through. There is a movie I watched twice. It's one of the movies I really probably will never, ever watch again, because I don't like it. I don't like what happened at the end. It's also a very anti-Christian movie. And when I share this movie with you, you're probably going to disagree with me, okay? But this is my opinion. Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof. Remember the story? Remember the movie? Remember what happened at the end? What happened in the end was such a tragedy, it was ridiculous. The youngest daughter married a Christian man. She is no longer a part of the Jewish faith. And as he's walking out of town in this movie, in his play, he does not recognize her. She's basically dead to him, and he moves on. That, to me, is terrible. That, to me, is anti-Christian. So that's my opinion. But that's the persecution they were feeling. People were shunned by their friends and their family. And Paul was trying to encourage them. And so he does it so beautifully and so succinctly is 1 Thessalonians 1:15-20. So, see that no one repays evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So I'm going to talk about that in a short little sentence here. But, 16, 17, and 18, rejoice always, a very small verse, one of the smallest verses in Scripture. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The will of God are those three things. Plus, don't repay evil for evil. Do not quench the spirit. So, I just want to hit on this first part. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. That is one sermon. That'll take a whole sermon just to preach on that one sentence. But I want you to know how powerful that thing is, that the verse is. But I'm going to move on that because it's very, you know, verse 15 is important, but where God is leading us today, this morning, is verses 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So many times Paul has reminded and encouraged his readers to rejoice. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That theme runs through his letters time and time again. Rejoicing. So how do we rejoice? We know that we're in God's will. When we're knowing God's will, when we have a right relationship, we have this opportunity to know that everything is in God's control. That even in our tough times, we can rejoice because nothing is taken away from God. God allows for things to happen, and God will use these opportunities for us for his good, and we grow in those times. Then I'm going to go to verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Again, another beautiful reminder. This is a quote from Michael Holmes, who is a commentator, is giving thanks is another common command or theme in Paul. Like the command to rejoice, it is deeply rooted in Paul's theology. That is, his understanding about God. because he was convinced that in any and all circumstances, God was at work on behalf of his people. In all things, everything. He could go, therefore, to urge the Thessalonians to give thanks in all circumstances. So this morning, we're going to be looking at pray without ceasing. We'll hit on these things here and later in the theme. Pray without ceasing. Without ceasing, basically, it's a Greek word meaning without omission. Without omission meaning that everything you do in life, prayer is somehow connected to who you are. Okay? It's not something that is off to the side, and we try to live life with our own logic, with our own reasoning, with our own intellect, with our own ability to pull us up from the bootstraps, which is all bad theology. Good reason, good logic, all those things are important. But to think that we can do this with all those, without prayer, without God's help, doesn't go to a good place. So a lot of times we focus on the first thing we do is, how can I do this myself? You know, I mean, there are things that we can do easily on ourselves. But I believe that God wants us to understand that everything that we do, everything that we're doing, God's a part of it. And God wants us to know that prayer is something that should be natural in our conversation and all the things that we do in life. It's a very important part. And I shared with you earlier a little about the children, about how prayer is that constant dialogue of someone that is very intimate with you, that knows you dearly, that you go to like your parent. You get on the cell phone, you can do anything, it's right there. And as that becomes a part of your life, you now, it's without omission. You are praying without ceasing because it becomes a part of who you are and how you live life. So this morning is this theme right here. Prayer works. Pray first. Like I said earlier, we have short memories, don't we? I mean, that prayer, that situation happened to me back in 1983. You know, that was one of the most powerful experiences in my life. But we forget about those opportunities, those situations. I really believe that God wants us to sometimes sit back and take inventory of the different ways that God has answered your prayer. In fact, that's one of the best things to do when you go into a new year. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But think of all the different ways God has answered your prayer last year. It's important because it allows you to know that prayer does work in everything we do. Then pray first. So a part of our life, our philosophy of life, should be that when we are in a situation, whatever it may be, large or small, that one of the first things that we should be doing is going to God. I mean, that's what a spouse or a best friend is about. You know, I can call out Cynthia, I can text her any time of the day. And I do. And I talk to her, and I connect with her. Also, I have a best friend, okay, that I do the same thing. And all of us here have a spouse or a best friend. It is so comforting to know that I have a person I can go to by calling them, by being connected to them, by allowing them to be a part of our life. That is a gift from God. That is a gift from God that puts us in this beautiful church, the family of believers. And so with that immediate access, which is great, God also wants us to remind ourselves that we have that access too. And as we continue to rely on him in our times of whatever we're going through, that our go-to is pray first, it becomes a natural part of our breathing, of who we are. So, let's look at the new year. All right? So there are three things I want to share with you. First of all, for all those that are wanting to get into some good exercises for this year, you know, strengthen your body, your upper body. Well, I want to share with you an exercise that I think you all can learn and get from that I think is really going to be good. So you take a 2-pound sack of potato, a potato sack, and you take it up, and for 1 week you take both of those, and you just hold it, and you do this for, try to get up to a minute, okay? The next week you take a 5-pound sack potato, and you take it up, and you do this for 1 week. Right? It really will strengthen your arms, your back. Then you take the 10-pound and do the same thing. In the fourth week, you take the two-pound sack and put potatoes in them and start with potatoes from that fourth week. So that in jest. But looking back at the old year is really important. See, when you look at a picture of last year, you know, how the old year is going out, you look at this person, if you've seen pictures, bloodied and broken and beaten up, and he looks so disappointed, like this was such a terrible year. Have you seen pictures like that lately? You know, they got COVID across him. I mean, it just looks like this guy is so glad that this year is done. And then we have this new person coming, yeah, and we're thinking that the new year is going to be normal. We're thinking that the new year is going to be full of just happiness and surprises and all kinds of great things. So we build up these expectations how this new year is going to be so much better than last year, and guess what happens? So I believe one of the best things for us to do when we look into the new year is really sit back and say, God, in the midst of everything that has happened, even in the suffering, in the times of suffering, I can sit back there and I can say, God, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for this, thank you for this. And having an attitude of thanksgiving, okay, going into the new year will help better serve you. Because now you have a better picture of what can happen and how God is always there for you. I think all of us here, we can look back at every year in our life, for the most part, and we know there's always a year that has some type of suffering, some type of hurt, brokenness. I think we can look back at that. But also we know that God is taking those situations and turning it good, to His good, as well as growing us. Can it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you find yourself in these trials, these sufferings of all kinds, find a joy because I'm using these opportunities, God says, to grow you, to mature you, so that you're lacking nothing. So, good way to start a new year. Right? And just go out there and start writing down, I thank God, oh, wow, yeah, start just really, just 10. Just thank God for this, thank God for that. And allow yourself to have an attitude of thanksgiving as you get into the new year without, you know, don't put unreal expectations like it's just going to be a happy, normal year. Just say, no, God's going to be a part of whatever happens. And then the third part to this, and we'll throw the first one on, so there are only two parts, the 21 days of prayer. What a great way to start a new year. It's 21 days. Think about how that's going to change us. Think about how that's going to engage us with God. Think about how that's going to be a normal part of your daily conversations with God. 21 days. 21 days. I think it's 21 days to build a habit, if I recall right. So there's so much good in this. Take the sheet of paper and just pray. All those things on those papers that I just looked at, it shouldn't take longer than 5 or 10 minutes. Figure out 10 minutes a day and think about all the minutes you have in a day. And think about how this is going to truly do something special, not in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for reminding us that you truly love to hear our voice. You made us, you created us, you redeemed us so that we can be in this sweet, wonderful relationship with you, that you want us to be dependent on you. You want to take care of us. You want to love us and bless us by just connecting with you. So, Father, help us, especially with the 21 days of prayer, that we can do this with your strength. We do this and we pray this in your Son's day. Amen. And also, if you miss 1 or 2 days, it's okay. Just start again. Don't throw it out of the window. Just start. Even go back a couple days and finish the prayers that you didn't have done. But don't give up. Allow it just to really be a part of your life and prayer. So, we have the supper. Oh, my goodness. God has provided us on this new day, in this new year, an opportunity to experience another means of His grace. What a blessing. It is God's gift to us to be able to sit back and knowing that God says, I am here with you. And these symbols are representation of my Son, Jesus. And this table is a symbol of our allegiance to our Father in heaven, to God. Because we believe in what it represents. We believe that Jesus Christ, the night that He was betrayed, took the bread, He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He said, this body represents me, a body that's going to be broken for you. They were a little uncertain about what that meant, but eventually they were able to live out that story. That body was broken for us. He gave up His life for us. Then He took the cup of redemption. And it's this cup right here from the Seder meal is my cup, a new covenant, a shedding of blood for many, many sins. Take this cup and drink it in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. Let's bow our heads and prepare our hearts. Remember, this is so important right here. I want you to know if there's anything that's keeping you from drinking this and taking this table, God gives us this beautiful liberty. This gift of going to Him and saying, God, there's something I'm struggling with. There's some sin. There's something that's keeping me from you. Help me, God, to repent from it. And help me just to know that I can't do this without your strength. That I need your strength to move on. And allow for that joy. Allow for that joy just to fill your heart. And allow for yourself to be able to have this free opportunity just to take part in this meal. Let's bow our heads. Father, I do pray. I pray that we can listen and hear your voice, and that God, you've given us this gift, this table, a beautiful reminder of your love for us. Father, I pray for any of us here that are struggling with something that's keeping us to come to this table, to put the symbol of the bread, the blood, the body, and the blood in our mouth, that you're so good at hearing us. You're so good at helping us to turn it around, and we know it's a process. Father, our heart is to turn to you, God, in this situation. So we thank you for this. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.